Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today and making Out of This World one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area with over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries. And I just want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful support. Today, from now till 3 p.m., I'll be interviewing my good friend Simon Parks from England. He's on the line now. We'll be going to him in just a few minutes. Then from 3 to 3:15 p.m., I'll be talking about my upcoming trips next year to Machu Picchu. I'll be going from January 23rd to February 7th, 2020, and again from May 17th to June 5th. Machu Picchu is one of the world's most spiritual places, and in addition to Machu Picchu, we'll be visiting Cusco and Ollantaytambo, Pisac, the Sacred Valley, Puno, Lake Titicaca, and the Nazca Lines, as well as the extraterrestrial museum at Paracas on the coast of Peru. It's a fascinating place. They actually have some skeletons, but mostly skulls from hybrid extraterrestrials, ETs, and humans there. And it's really an amazing place. I had a long discussion last night with Zora from the Hollow Earth, and he said that that I would be going in physically into the Hollow Earth from Machu Picchu on my January trip. So if people like to go, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. The cost is only $4.97 with airfare and accommodations extra. However, there have been some wonderful specials recently going on from Vancouver, Canada, and other places down to Lima, Peru for as little as $216, U.S. dollars round trip. That's right, just $216 round trip. From 3:15 to 4, I'll be interviewing David Lowe. He's a wonderful spiritual master, and I know you'll really enjoy his interview. I'd like to thank all my supporters, and especially Corey and Saul and Kirkland for their wonderful support, as well as Marian Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma in London, England, Jan Eric and Emma Louise in Norway, and everyone around the world who've supported the program. Also, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website, providing wonderful support, my friends of the Galactic Alliance, who I know are listening today, my angelic and earthly family, and of course, KKNW and Eric, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. If you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who passed on or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793 or toll free at 1-888-879-8339. I'm still collecting funds and collecting books for a new library for the Hopi Indians, and I want to thank so much for the people who've sent in their books to me already for this wonderful cause. Also, I want to thank Corey and Saul and Kirkland for their wonderful donation. Any books would be appreciated, especially spiritual books and or computers. If you can donate, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. A few events coming up this Sunday, September 22nd. I'll be giving a presentation at the Unity Spiritual Center in Bellingham, Washington. Their address is 1095 Telegraph Road between Meridian and James Street. Their phone number, if you need directions, is 360-733-2277. I'll be giving an update from my book, Messages from the Masters, with messages from Albert Einstein, President John F. Kennedy, and Nostradamus on our beautiful, bright future. I'll also be doing readings right after my presentation that afternoon. I hope you can come. I'm still continuing to raise funds for clean water for both the Hopi and Navajo Indians. I want to thank Teresa in Idaho so much for her generous contribution last year of $30,000 for clean water filters for the Hopi. It's the first time that many tribal members on the Hopi reservation have drank clean water in 60 or 70 years. Believe it or not, most of the water is contaminated by radiation and arsenic on both the Hopi and Navajo reservations, but for only a $125 donation, a new clean water filter can be purchased for either the Hopi or the Navajo, which will guarantee them clean water for many years. If you'd like to donate to this worthy effort, please email me to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Also, I'm asking everyone to continue to say prayers for the Amazon, which produces 20% of the world's oxygen. I know that if we all send love and light to the Amazon, that we can stop these fires taking place currently. With that, I'd like to bring on my good friend Simon from England. Simon, how are you doing today?
Hello, Ted. I'm very well and very pleased to be back on your show.
Oh, good. Good. So good. So good to have you back. Boy, there's a lot going on. And as I mentioned just before going on air, when it rains, it pours, doesn't it, Simon? All kinds of these things going on.
Yes, it's a saying that we share, don't we, in both our countries. When one issue begins to take fire, then another one starts and another one. But I think that's just the truth, you know, finding these things out. In other words, I'd much rather that we had five or six things come along, because then we can see them and judge them. If we only had one or two things, and you'd ask yourself, well, what else is taking place that we can't see?
Right. Exactly. I know President Trump had a meeting this morning or today with the Australian Prime Minister in Washington, D.C., and I was listening to it this morning, Simon, and I kept trying to read through the lines for any hidden messages. I couldn't pick anything up, but I don't know if you've had a chance to look at that yet, but you do have a post on your website called Financial Backing, where President Trump has been asking the Federal Reserve to cut rakes. And they only, I think they just, what did they do? Just do it by
one quarter.
Yeah, which is almost nothing. What's the inside story about what's happening there, Simon?
I haven't picked up with the Australian meeting, but of course Australia and America are very close. Right. So President Trump would see the Australian leader as a very important ally. Excuse me. I think that there are real possibilities of a limited attack against Iran. And I know that President Trump has spoken to the British Prime Minister on this. Mm-hmm. And I've no doubt that the discussions with the Australian Prime Minister were exactly along those lines. So I am expecting a limited form of attack by the United States against the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. Mm. The Iranian ground-to-air missile system. So that's probably not too far in the field. The Fed have been asked by President Trump for a very long time to cut rates. They refused to. In fact, they were continuing their program of squeezing money into the economy. Mm-hmm. And we know that last week the European Central Bank announced that there was a crash coming. And the European Central Bank, which is the main bank that oversees all of the banks in the European Union, started to print money and put it out. And yesterday, the Federal Reserve put $75 billion into the repo bond market. Now, the bond market is a very good indicator of world health. And the fact that the Fed's put in excess of $70 billion into that gives you some indication of the danger that the world economy is in. The Fed did cut interest rates by a quarter. Ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. It should be cutting it by a whole percentage point and shouldn't be concerned if it takes it into negative. There are a number of countries that have run a negative interest rate. Mm-hmm. And so the president is not asking these things because it's election year next year. He's asking it because his advisors clearly know more than the Fed. Mm-hmm. Because the president has been asking them to do something quickly for a financial stimulus. They've done it now, but only because they can actually see that the world is beginning to slip back into a Lehman Brothers 2008 crash again. So it's very serious. And we're watching it very closely, Ted.
Well, I remember you talked a couple months ago, Simon, about how there are negative and positive forces who, for various reasons, either want to keep the economy going or crash the economy. And, of course, the Fed is Federal Reserve is not federal, and it's not reserve. It was created in 1913 of 13 private banks. And they have their own, they're for-profit institutions which make money off the United States. And they issue money that's many people think illegally, in violation of Article 7 of the U.S. Constitution, which says that only the U.S. Treasury can issue our U.S. currency. But I think it's important for people to realize that they're not our friends.
Well, we should ask ourselves, when did the Titanic sink?
Mm-hmm.
There was a very important reason that there were some key people, bankers, on the Titanic. Actually, it wasn't the Titanic that sank. It was its sister ship. But that's another story. Mm-hmm. But there were a number of bankers who were very against coming off the gold standard. And at a forthcoming meeting, these people were prepared to vote to keep the gold standard. And these people died in the Titanic. And therefore, when the vote came through, there was a vote to come off the gold standard. So you're right, the Fed was designed as part of an overall plan, not just to make money, but to make money on an incredibly grand scheme.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the situation with the economy, it's not actually being crashed or potentially being crashed by the bad guys this time round.
Right.
This is just purely the state that the world economy is in. This is the point. Normally, you're absolutely right, Ted. Mm-hmm. The bad guys will crash it, like Wall Street in 1929,
right,
because they want to buy up lots of corporations at rock bottom prices. But what we've got at the moment is a fundamental disconnect between the people who have money and their belief that the system can keep rolling along. So in other words, in the alternative media or the truth media, for the last 25, 30 years, people have been warning about this. But actually now, those people who are not in our movement, but they're incredibly wealthy, they're actually coming to the same conclusion. That's what we're seeing now.
For people who follow the silver and gold markets, silver has gone, I think it's like a 5 or 6 year high. I'm not sure what gold's doing. But is that indicative of the kind of financial stress that the markets are in right now?
Well, it's very interesting because wealthy individuals buy gold.
Mm-hmm.
People like you and me, Ted, if we were in to buy precious metals, we'd probably buy silver.
Right.
So when we see the silver price spiking, it means that the bottom range of the market are trying to invest in silver,
mm-hmm,
which means that people who are close to the news, and that is people that listen to your show, Ted,
mm-hmm,
they're the ones now who might be investing in silver. They can't buy a ton of gold, but they can buy a fair bit of silver. So what that's an indicator is that the large market of people who are following the news are investing in silver. So it means that from the top to the bottom, there is a move. Now, the gold prices are artificially altered. So let's say there was a run on gold, they would be able to try and hide that from the public, but they don't have the same control mechanism over silver. There are six men that control the gold price. This is not fully understood. Six men sit around a table, yeah, and they decide what the price of gold will be. Now, every other commodity, the price is decided by the amount that's sold or the demand for it.
Right.
But gold is not run like that. But so silver is a true reflection of people's confidence. Gold is not.
Interesting. I know that junk silver, pre-1964 U.S. coins and pre-1965 Canadian coins, is a very good buy for silver if you're interested in buying silver.
Yes. I think in the U.S. you go 999 parts,
right,
silver, or 950 parts. Very interesting. And we obviously, as you guys and the Canadians and the Australians and the Indians, fought the First World War, mm-hmm, British coins, all silver British coins, were 925 parts silver. After the First War, they were devalued down to 500 parts silver.
Okay.
Then after the Second World War, all the silver was taken out,
mm-hmm,
and they were replaced by copper and nickel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did a little experiment a little while ago. We have copper coins in our country. We call them one pennies and two pennies, and I laid them out from about 1980 up to about the year 2000. And then I passed a magnet over them. Over the first load of coins, nothing happened. But as it got to the more recent times, all the coins flew off the floor and hit the magnet, which means that not just in precious metals, but anything now, they're putting in junk metal because there's such a shortage of rare earth or rare materials that it appears on the same. You have, in our case, the Queen's head on one side and something on the other that looks the same, but actually speaking, it isn't. And if you look at very poor countries, their coins are made out of aluminium or zinc. And so a real indicator of health is the quality of the coinage that a country has.
I have to tell you this story, Simon. It's a funny story. After I graduated from high school in the 70s, I went with a group of students to Germany, and especially East Germany, East Berlin. And I'll never forget, we had lunch, and I had some change. They were all the coins were aluminum coins. And a wind came up, and the wind blew all the coins off my hand. And we all started laughing because it was almost worthless.
I've got a little collection of paper money. And between the First War and the Second War from Germany, when there was hyperinflation, and I use it when I do my, sometimes when I do my talks or my lectures. And this is real money, and you know it's billions of dollars, billions. And there's one true story just to highlight it, where a guy in Germany in 1923, he goes to a cafe, and he orders a coffee. He drinks his coffee. He reads the newspaper. When he goes to pay the bill, the price of the coffee is doubled.
Oh my goodness! Oh my.
And that's hyperinflation, and you know that's the real nasty eater of people's wealth or their savings. People who did really well out of it were people who took a loan, say for $10,000 out of the bank, and then by the end of this inflation, $10,000 bought you a cup of coffee. So you just went into the bank and you paid the $10,000. And your loan was cleared. So there were certain individuals who made absolute fortune out of that financial situation. Ordinary people suffered terribly. But those people in the know who planned for this, they were in a position to make. And that's the way it is on this planet, that knowledge is power.
Right.
And those who have advanced knowledge will actually, even if they're not manipulating the system, they will be ready to take advantage of the system. The rest of us who are kept in the dark, we're just the ones that suddenly have the pressure put on us. And that's what's wrong and needs to change.
That's a very, very good point. I guess that's one reason why the major media outlets in the United States and elsewhere are controlled, aren't they? So they can control the information that people get.
Yes, and not just control it, but actually give counter information. So it's one thing to counter it. And we had our fantastic Connecting Consciousness meeting in London.
Oh yes, how was that?
Well, that's coming out on YouTube in a few days. We and Andy and Kathka are working very hard to put this video together.
Okay.
And that will come out. And I made a reference in there when, and everyone who uses YouTube will know that you go on YouTube and you look for a topic and the heading says all you need to know about whatever topic. And I did speak for a few minutes on this, and I said how arrogant for an organization to tell us what we need to know. It's that what we want you to know.
Right.
We'll tell you what we think you need to know. Don't ask any questions. We'll just tell you what you need to know. And I said, you know, that, you know, don't tell us. Let us ask our own questions. Let us find what we need to know. And you know, that's the situation with media. Media is now saying, yes, but you're really busy, and busy people don't have time for in-depth news. So we'll just give you the highlights. And what they're doing is, of course, they're manipulating and giving you stuff that's absolutely either lies or is of no use whatsoever. And that's what I'm trying to wake people up to. The fact that the media they're being given is actually deliberately being twisted.
I have to tell you this story. It's from the Vietnam War in the early 70s, and I used to like to read these different news publications, like read the papers, Newsweek. It's gone out of business now in time, and all those publications could do, Simon, is tell about how great the Vietnam War was for the economy, how we were winning the battle for, quote, freedom, unquote, unquote, in Vietnam. This is 1972 and 73, and how we were winning in Vietnam. Of course, by 1975, we'd lost, and we had to leave Vietnam. But I'll never forget that. And ever since that experience, I've never trusted the mass media again in the United States.
It's funny, isn't it, how the media is. I mean, one of my all-time favorites is the original Star Trek. Mm. And if you compare the original Star Trek with everything that came from it, right. And Star Trek was a huge product, as many things were, of the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. So it was shoot first and ask questions afterwards. Mm. And, you know, there were many, many references in Star Trek to fighting for what you believe in and carrying your gun. Right. And media shouldn't just be seen as the newspapers or the news channels. It should also be seen as what is coming out in songs, what's coming out mm-hmm. in literature, what's mm-hmm. coming out in the movies. And that's why individuals who are very conscious might write an anti-war song, or they might do anti-war paintings. So that comes from the hearts of individuals, where the mass of the corporations are reinforcing their best friends, who are, of course, the very elite people who are arming the aircraft, putting the guns on the ships. So we really see humanity dividing into two groups: those who want to profit mm-hmm. from pain and misfortune, right. and those who actually want to stop the pain.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I'll never forget. It was about 9 years ago now, Simon. But there was I wish I knew the title of it, Simon. But it was a song about how the world was becoming radioactive, and it kept going about it's repeating radioactive, radioactive, radioactive. That was in 2010, about 6 months before Fukushima happened. Then it happened, and I thought, oh, either they were prepping us for it, or maybe the person had some intuition for what was going to happen in the following year.
Well, that's I haven't heard that. That's incredibly sinister, mm-hmm. Ted. Mm-hmm. What those who in the Kabbalah, what they understand mm-hmm. is that if you put theme out, and that theme can be taken by the group consciousness, you either create or you magnify a physical happening. So it's well understood that in an advert for a political party or an advert for a washing powder, if you repeat something enough times, enough people will believe it.
Right.
So if you put out something like that mm-hmm. and it's taken up, many people don't really understand that the power of the consciousness right. can actually have a physical effect. So I mm-hmm. see that as manipulation by the Kabbalah mm-hmm. to try and feed into the group consciousness a happening that they wished to create, and they wanted the human consciousness to okay it. That's mm-hmm. how I see it.
Wow, fascinating. Well, as you know, Adolf Hitler, that was one of his platforms, is to do the big lie. And his theory was that if you said it loud enough and long enough, people would believe it.
Yes, and he once said that when we win, nobody will question us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Interesting. Wow. This is a quick side note. I've been doing research on what really happened to Herr Hitler after World War II, and from the books and information I've got, he actually escaped to South America and lived there until at least 1965.
It's one of the biggest secrets. I know 9/11 is probably, you know, the most recent big secret, but it's on the same principle, in the sense that if you were to know the truth, it would implicate governments. Everyone assumes from the stories that Adolf Hitler committed suicide in a bunker.
Right.
My own grandfather, who worked for the CIA and the British MI6, mm-hmm. and my own mother, who worked for the NSA mm-hmm. and MI5, both were absolutely convinced that Hitler was not dead mm-hmm. and was living in Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
Even to the extent that we know that one of the Eva Perón, one of her special houses built mm-hmm. by the coast, had a submarine pen, literally. And to this day, if you can go there, you will see in the big swimming pool, the big lake, a submarine pen. And this is where the Nazi submarines were coming and doing it. And the deal was, when Hitler arrived at Argentina, he had all the torpedoes taken out of the tubes and the tubes stuffed with jewelry and gold. All of the torpedo tubes were stuffed with money, and he gave half to the Perrons, and he kept the other half, and that was the deal for his protection. And there's a whole fascinating story here. No, Hitler was not killed or did not die.
Right.
He escaped along with a few other close friends, and his dog was not poisoned, and his wife was not murdered either.
Ava, according to the information I've discovered, Ava Braun actually passed away living a long life in Argentina somewhere around 2002 or 2005 at the age of either 90 or 94.
She outlived Hitler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The information I have was that Hitler's personal doctor finally administered an injection to kill Hitler because he'd had enough of him. And that was, I think, in about 65, something like 65. It's very hard to get an exact date, but around that time.
Wow. All these things, Simon, which people have no idea. I don't want to dwell too much on it today because I've got other things to go over, including some questions. But
sure.
We've talked before about how this fall, I've been told by several psychic friends that this November could be a pivotal time for disclosure regarding 9/11 here in the United States.
I think so, simply because it is the November before the November election. And I think that, we are looking for something quite enormous to really tip human consciousness onto the right road in a full speed ahead.
Right.
So I genuinely don't know what that will be, but certainly from the 25th of October onwards into November, I'm hopeful that something big is going to be disclosed.
I had a long conversation last night with Zora from the Hollow Earth, Simon, and he said that the Ascension timetable actually has been speeded up. And originally, about a year ago, he said that parts of the planet would be shifting into the fifth dimension by the end of 2020 or approximately December 2020. And now he said that's been moved up some months, between 4 to 6 months faster because of your work, my work, and all the light workers working hard on this planet to make it a better place. So he said that I asked him whether we were doing well. He said, you're doing fine, and people are making the right choices for a better planet. So thank you for your work, Simon. You're helping.
Oh, you know, that's just so excellent because, you know, we do this, don't we, Ted, because we just desperately want truth.
Oh, yeah.
We desperately want fairness for everybody.
Right.
And we just can't stand to see situations that are not equitable.
Right.
And if the work that I'm doing and others are doing is just moving us along a few more inches, then that's great, because it means it's worth doing it. You know, I don't ever go to bed at night and say, what am I doing? Why do I do this? I've never, ever felt like that, because I know why I'm doing it.
Right.
But it's just great to know that, from a practical point of view, it is having some effect to move this along quicker. So that's great news.
Yeah. No, he was very positive last night. He was very pleased about humanity's progress. And he also said that when we shift into the fifth dimension, the people of Telos and the Hollow Earth will shift from the fifth to the sixth dimension, which I hadn't even thought. I thought they'd stay. But he said there's going to be an en masse shift for different civilizations going up one notch in terms of dimensions.
Right, that's really great, because you're about the only person who's bringing that topic up. There are 12, and I know there are lots of sub-dimensions.
Right.
There are 12 major dimensions, but a 13th is being prepared now, because if we are moving up, the top becomes compressed. If you say to a living creature, you have reached the epitome, you've reached the top, well, then there's nothing to strive for.
Right.
And the true creator has no beginning and no end. So consciousness and different dimensions have no end. So 13th is being created. Now, as we move up, everything is generally kept in balance.
Mm-hmm.
As we move up, they'll move up.
Right.
Here's the crunch.
Mm-hmm.
That the beings in the lower fourth, as it stands, will not move up. So as we move through them. Now, there will be some dislocation to the human consciousness as we pass through the fourth dimension. Mm-hmm. But we're not stopping there. We're just passing through it. And as we move up, then some of the other groups also move up to make way. It's a very, very exciting time.
Well, I've been going to Mount Shasta now since 2015, and every time I go, the vibrations get higher and higher, and it gets easier and easier to contact the people of the Hollow Earth. Almost everybody that came with me, we all went in the astral level. And then I was told last night by Zora, he said that when I'm at Machu Picchu in January, I will physically be able to walk in with a guide. So I'm looking forward to that.
I think we've seen great things happening with your groups, because if we look back over the time you've taken them, mm-hmm. more and more exciting things have occurred. People have had these miracle healings.
Right.
I know because some of the people that you've taken are my clients.
Oh, yes, Ted.
They book me some months afterwards, not to talk about that, but mm-hmm. other things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they'll say, oh, I went with Ted Ma, you know, to Shasta, or I did this, did that. And they'll tell me their own experiences. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. you know, there are people who listen to the show and say, oh, well, you know, Ted says this and Ted says that. But actually, you know, I have spoken to some members who go on your trips, mm-hmm. and they absolutely confirm what you say.
Well, thank you, Simon. That really makes me feel good. There was a lady who was on the trip about 10 days ago, and we were doing a group meditation at the entrance to Telos on Mount Shasta, and she suddenly started crying, and so her husband said, "Could you please talk to my wife? What happened?" And I mm-hmm. talked to her. And she was spontaneously healed of Lyme disease that she'd had for the past 20 years, 15, 20 years. And she'd been in
I'm excited about that, because yeah. Lyme's disease isn't just a straightforward disease. Mm. I think Lyme disease has some evil connections with the fourth dimension. Mm-hmm. Now, it's very interesting. One of the reasons that doctors on this planet are having a hell of a hard time to cure Lyme's disease is because they are using medicines from a third dimension. Mm. And I think that Lyme's has this fourth dimensional connection. Now, Hollow Earth is a fifth plus sixth dimension. It's around that level.
Right.
Therefore, the frequency is greater, mm-hmm. and therefore it can heal. So that's very interesting, Ted.
Yeah, yeah. And she's very happy. I know that I had an exposed nerve on the back of my teeth, and it caused me some pain and discomfort. And I still need some dental work, but that nerve has been completely healed now. I don't have pain now, nothing. And but it's an amazing place, and it's getting easier and easier to contact the people of the Hollow Earth. Every time I go there, it's very, very easy to talk to them. Because I think the vibrations of this planet are rising very rapidly, and people's consciousness.
You'll have to run coaches. You'll be so busy, Ted.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. But it's I'm so pleased that we've all, when we're there, we all ask for healings, and they come right through. They come right through. There was a fellow last year who was had Lou Gehrig's disease, and he must have been in his mid to early 70s, and he'd had Lou Gehrig's disease for the last 15 years or so, 10, 15 years. And it's a kind of disease where your nerve system starts to shut down. You can't walk anymore, and eventually it kills a person. It can kill a person because your heart stops functioning.
Terrible.
Well, he used to be an athlete, and he was given one of these spontaneous healings. And I'll never forget him suddenly standing up and running about a mile and a half, 2 miles back to where our cars were located. And everybody was totally amazed, and he's still healed now. Yeah, he's still healed now. So, yeah, yeah. Well, getting back to the third dimension, back to the third dimension here. What do you make of this conflict with Iran? Do you think there? You had a post about B-2 bombers were deployed from Britain to attack Iran. I don't know if there will be a conflict or not. What do you think might happen?
I think what's happening is that the B-2 bombers that are flying from Britain are not actually the ones that are going to take part in any attack on Iran. They are just filling, it's a rotational thing, they're filling slots in US air bases that are nearer and might be used. I'm not saying that it's been authorized. What I'm saying is that the military have said to President Trump, if you wish to do a strike, there are certain things we have to put in place. And President Trump gave the authority not to attack Iran, but he gave the authority so that the military were in a position that if that was what happened, they weren't then scrabbling around trying to move assets around the map. So what we're seeing at the moment is the assets being redeployed. President Trump spoken to the Prime Minister of Britain and to Australia. He doesn't need to talk to France or Germany because they're not part of the Five Eyes group. In the same way, they're not confidential sources. The Prime Minister of Britain is very close to the President, and so is the Australian leader. I think personally that what President Trump might do is go for a very savage cyber hacking attack on Iran. I think that's what he's going to do, and I think that they'll put in some very strong defense systems around the oil fields. The problem for the president is that oil corporations are saying that they want to be protected. And President Trump has got to decide whether the best way to protect them is by having military escorts or whether to take out, you know, it's the Revolutionary Guard, it's the Iranian Revolutionary Guard who are responsible. And I honestly think it's a 50-50 call at the moment, because it might be that, you see, remember that America now produces more oil than Saudi Arabia.
Really? My goodness.
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's why President Trump can stand there and say making America great again,
right?
Because there is more oil coming out of America now, millions of barrels a day, than is coming out of Saudi Arabia. Now, that's never happened before, but that is the genuine case. So America is not so dependent on Saudi oil. Therefore, Trump is not under such pressure to launch an attack. If you think back to the oil crisis in 1974, the West was strangulated by the OPEC Saudi oil barons, because that's where it's coming from. So Trump's got more cards in his hand than people think. But I think it's very tempting for the White House to have a short surgical strike. I do think that it is likely at some point that a very quick campaign from the air will be launched.
Interesting. And President Trump seems to go, he likes to, I'm sure he would be good at poker, because he's got a good poker face and he pushes things to the absolute max, like with North Korea.
He's not a warmonger. He doesn't want war.
Right.
That's the point. Time and time again, those around him have tried to push him into a conflict, and he's ended up sacking them. So we know that he doesn't want a war. But this is different, because a huge sprawling oil refinery has been attacked. It has reduced the output of oil from Saudi Arabia by 50%, half.
Wow.
Now, no president can really sit back and watch oil reserves being held to ransom like that.
Right.
So, you know, this is the difference, and I think that there will be a response. The question is whether President Trump will be satisfied with non-military sanctions, or whether he'll feel that the eyes of the world are on him and he looks weak, or America looks weak if he doesn't do something. I mean, that's the concern, because if Iran feels it can do this and get away with it, then what will it do next? That's the argument taking place in the White House and the Pentagon at the moment.
Oh, interesting. Of course, there's the Israeli election as well. Could you explain, you had a good post on that, Simon. Could you explain a little bit about what's going on and what do you think will happen?
Well, it's quite amazing, really, because most governments have laws that say a leader can only stand for office certain times. You know, in your own country, the president does two terms of office if he or she is re-elected for a second term. They do two terms and they don't. And it's interesting that President Trump was joking the other day that he would do a third term of office, which caused some eyebrows to raise. But Benjamin Netanyahu, who is the currently the Prime Minister of Israel, was seeking his fifth term of office. So he's very greedy. And for the first time, his Likud party, which is not an orthodox right wing, but it's very, very right wing party, scored the same votes. I haven't checked them tonight. They were running neck and neck with the opposition party. Now, if that's the case, and he has exactly the same number of votes as his main rival, I can tell you that the main rival will probably be able to secure backing from the rest of the parliament, and that will be the end of Netanyahu, and there is a court case waiting to start against him. So if he loses office, I think he'll be in court. So this is a big game changer, because if this guy loses in Israel, it is a huge blow to the cabal, a very huge blow.
Wow, interesting. Well, this is a time of truth, and things that are true are becoming truer. And the cabal, I know we've talked about this before. They've lost the war. They keep losing different battles, and this is yet another battle which they probably will lose as well.
Yeah, I do think so. I think that we've made these jokes before, Ted. I mean, who would be a prime minister of a negative government? Who would be a president of a negative government? Because you can't hide the truth from the people anymore. These aren't the good old 1970s when you could do all these horrible things and nobody batted an eyelid. And so, you know, the great thing is it's only beginning to bring good people out, because bad people think, well, I can't get away with what I used to do, so I don't want to do that job anymore. And a good person says, well, I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want to do good for people, so I'll put my name forward. And I think what we're seeing is slowly but surely the bad people are being filtered out from office. It's a long way to go, but I think the process has started.
And I think the process has started as well in Iran. What their government is that? Would you say is that a cabal government, a negative government as well? The Iranian government.
It's 50-50.
Okay.
You've got the president, you see. And you've got the spiritual leader, and that's you would say, okay, well, the guy who's the churchman wouldn't be involved in government, but that's not the case at all. The spiritual leader actually has quite a strong say, and you've got a cabal on one half, and you've got a fairly okay government on the other half, and there are changes occurring. People are seeking freedoms, people are demonstrating, and I think we've got a world movement coming forward now where people actually want more freedom. We're seeing that in many countries.
Yes, absolutely. And this is an old post that you had, but I had one of my listeners write an email about it, about James Comey, how he inserted two spies in the White House when he was director to spy on the president. What's happened since that? I think you made that post several weeks ago.
Right. Well, it's more than two. I mean, there are two that were known of.
Okay.
And there was, I don't know if it was freedom of information. It came up under, there are a number of court cases at the moment going through. And it was referred to within one case. Basically, there were four spies placed in.
Oh, my God.
One guy was put in there just to spy on the president. The question is, you see, President Trump needs the machinery of government to function. He needs that. So if he goes mad and tears it all down, how is he going to function? So it seems to me what's happening is that a lot of these things are being sorted out behind the scenes.
Right.
Washing your clothes in public doesn't always go down very well. And I think that a lot of these things that have made it into court will have to become public. And clearly, if two and two can be put together, anybody who's recruited somebody to spy on the president will end up in jail.
Right.
That goes without saying. The arrogance that these people thought they could spy on their own president. And for goodness sake, mm-hmm. you know, you have a constitution right. and you have founding fathers.
Right.
And how crazy must it have got in America mm-hmm. where a person thought it was okay to spy on the president in the White House?
Right.
And that shows you why there's been such a huge shift in the United States away from central control
right.
And, you know, and to a more open society. And I think that this battle is still being fought in America.
Mm-hmm.
It's still got a long way to play out.
Right. Right. Going to another subject, I have a client in New Zealand, Rosemary, and she just emailed me a question regarding the International Tribunal of Natural Justice has been invited to New Zealand in March of 2020 to hear testimony about the poisoning, what she writes, the poisoning of New Zealand with deadly pesticides. Have you heard about that situation in New Zealand, Simon, where they use excessive amounts of pesticides on the people and the land there?
Yes, there's also do it in some states in Australia.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's because of the way that the environment is there, the weeds can grow quite rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
But to my understanding, it seems to be a very huge program of spraying on roads, on the sidewalks. It's always I've spoken to people who live there and they've said it's very excessive. The Commission of Natural Justice is a very powerful organization. I'm familiar with some of the people who sit on that. I think it's quite useful. There's so much going on. There's some real good stuff being done to stop 5G. There's stuff to do with poisoning the planet. I see it as all part of the same thing, which is a great central consciousness of evil that is trying to control the earth, and that we have this other consciousness now of positive humanity, which is taking it on. And this is what we're seeing. We're seeing a battle now in public view.
Sure, sure. There was an excellent interview that Coast to Coast Radio had last night here in the United States with a fellow named Matt Landman, who went into the scientific details of studies that have been done on 5G and how it is carcinogenic. It can cause infertility in men and women. And he thought it was a population control device as well as a weapon. It's actually a weaponized system originally formulated by our Pentagon. So it's not really about communication as much as it is about control and population control.
Very, very quickly, the organization that I created, Connecting Consciousness, has mm-hmm. a great guy who coordinates for me mm-hmm. in Australia,
mm-hmm.
and he's had some fantastic results in using Australian law
mm-hmm.
to take 5G down. Sydney now has no 5G in it, to my understanding. There have been some excellent success there. I'm hopefully meeting a group of scientists, an individual, I'm not going to use any names, an individual has come to me. There is a device which this group of scientists have created, which is a small pocket device, which is an electrobiofield,
mm-hmm.
Which will be absolutely invaluable for protecting individuals from 5G. I am being sent the empirical science.
Mm-hmm.
There are $3 million worth of trials taking place now mm-hmm. with people. I've been invited to a presentation next week. It's going to be launched, and my organization, Connecting Consciousness, has been asked, once I've okayed it and I've seen the evidence, whether I would be a conduit to provide these to people. I won't be selling them, but I will be a location where somebody says, hey, I want to buy that product, and I can arrange for that. The reason that Connecting Consciousness is being asked to be one of the outlets is that we can't be corrupted. We can't be bought out.
Sure.
I'm absolutely delighted that these group of people have come to me and to my organization to distribute something that could really save humanity. So once we have more information, I've been to this conference, I've had a look at that, then I'll be advertising. So far, I think the price would be about $200
mm-hmm.
for the unit. It is You plug it in at home, and I think that it produces a biofield of about 5, 6, 7 meters, and it's portable. You can carry it in your pocket, and it produces a protection field of about 2 yards, 3 yards, something like that. And I'm really excited that this is a method that we can have both in the home, and our children can have, and we can have, and we will be protected. So if the evidence that I am presented with convinces me, I'll put my name to it.
Wonderful. I when I was in the UK in June, Simon, a few months ago, I met a wonderful man. I don't mind saying his name because he's been on my show, named Simon Fox. He shares your first name with a company called CalmSpace, and doing the same thing. If you like, I'll send you his contact information.
Yes, please. Look, what's happening is that people all over the planet are rising up with consciousness, and they're either rediscovering old technologies or they're creating new technologies, because we're not going to get these from the corporations. The corporations won't give these. So what humanity is doing is kickstarting small groups, individuals, entrepreneurs, scientists, and it's coming from the ground upwards. And that's what's so important here, because this organic breath of fresh air is untainted. And that's, I think, this is like a huge tidal wave. And I don't think that the evil forces can stop this.
No, I don't think they can. I don't think they can. I know I was so pleased to get Sarah's comment last night from the Hollow Earth that we are on the right track and we're making the right decisions. Simon, we've got about 4 minutes left, give or take a few seconds. And I wanted to ask you, I always love asking this question, what do you see in the short, medium, and long term on the next...
I can't believe that an hour's gone by so quickly. It's absolutely phenomenal. We just shoot through this, don't we? I think that's we get on, Ted, and you know, it's a great thing to do.
Yeah, thank you. I always enjoy talking to you too.
Sorry, Ted. I just think that every week now there's a challenge, but the wonderfulness that humanity finds of overcoming the challenge gives me great hope for the future, because we're bombarded with these very dreadful, terrible stories, and then we get something really wonderful that comes up. So I think that in terms of what we're looking for now is we're looking not for negative stories. Let's look for good stories, and let's see what we can do to get behind those good stories and give them that positive push, so that we can counteract all of this negativity by really building on good stories. So if you've got something good happening in your neighborhood, get in there and support it, whatever it might be, because every little you do pushes the bad boys back.
Well, thank you so much for saying that. That's why the Great Spirits contacted me about 4 or 5 years ago. They said that we have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us. There's a lot of good things happening on the planet. And humanity needs to know that we're on the right track. We're not going to have a World War III or Armageddon, and we are making the right choices.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
I suppose I better say goodbye to you, Ted, haven't I?
Well, we've got a few more minutes. We've got 2 minutes left, Simon. Yeah,
okay.
We've got 2 minutes. So I was going to say, this is an important question from one of my listeners. How are your cats doing? You haven't mentioned them during the hour. Are they okay? They're worried about make sure they're all right.
Yes, absolutely fine.
Yeah.
The white cat is still his royal regal self.
Okay.
And still knocking pictures off the walls when he doesn't get fed, or goes up onto the bookshelf and then uses his claws to pull the books down onto the floor. They drop 5 or 6 feet on the floor.
Oh my God.
And his character's always been that. And I remember one of the very first interviews I ever did. I was doing an interview and he started to drink my coffee while I was doing the interview, and I wasn't aware of it, but the guy who did the film kept it in. Uh-huh. It's one of my very first ones, when he was just a kitten. He was only 6 months old, but he was already looking for stardom. He was determined to get onto the film even back then.
Oh no. Does he drink espresso now or just
no,
tea
he,
or anything?
He's more into, he likes cheese. He likes Camembert cheese. Mm-hmm. And he likes brie cheese, so he likes cheese. And at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, if I go down, and I often do. I don't always sleep through, and he'll always come down. I have to cut him a slice of cheese. Yes, it's quite a close relationship here.
Oh, how wonderful! I've always been told, Simon, that cats and dogs are part of our furry circle of friends of love around us. So, and they, even when they pass, they stay with us, and you meet them on the other side when you pass. So
I think the problem is that because of the way that the world is, people are not taught the truth about animals,
right?
Because they do have a soul in them.
Oh,
it's not just humans that have a soul. Animals have a soul. That the Buddhists won't kill an ant the same reason.
That's right.
And what I'm saying is that animals do physically die, but the soul will come back, and they will come back and try and find you. So if you have a cat 20 years later, you might find a cat from the pound or the rescue shelter, and that will be the same animal that's found you.
It's happened to me before. Simon, thank you so much for coming on today, my friend. I've really been fun talking to you. I hope you have a wonderful day. Please stay tuned for our next hour, friends.
Would you know?